great things happening in our midst. Continue to pray for Bethany, and if you want to help, make sure and just contact the office. And as we wrap our arms around her, and we're glad Mark's here, and we need to continue to pray for Mark Bennett as well, and others that are recovering from surgery and stuff. And so just keep them on your hearts and your minds. Just a little like promo, is that okay for a second? Next Sunday in the community center, we'll be serving our coffee there. There'll be regular coffee, frappuccinos, lattes, hot, iced, all those things. If you're interested in helping, we're going to do a training tomorrow at 10 in there. So if you're off or able to, come be a part of that. I do want to just say a word about the background. So obviously, it's not cheap coffee. We're using Maranatha coffee, which is a couple, the Hermans, who are very much involved in missions at the Alexandria Church of the Nazarene and have been for many years. This coffee has supported Nazarene missions as well as Freedom International, all kinds of things. For 2022, all the profit that we sell from the coffee for their ministry, it goes straight into Nazarene World Missions, specifically some regions in Africa that we're serving in. And so this is a little different, and I know that some churches transition, well, you know, our coffee used to be free. Well, that free coffee that we paid for wasn't actually free. You know what I'm saying? You got to buy the coffee. And it didn't support missions. And so this is a little more expensive, but it supports missions and has a purpose behind it. And thankfully, it's within the Nazarene Church. And so the community center will not only serve our local area, but it's going to serve our worldwide mission. And so next Sunday, make sure and go out there. Don't go to Starbucks. Don't go to 7-Eleven here. It's Speedway. Don't go to those places. So yes, I'm promoting Christ-like investment here, but come see us. And if you're interested, tomorrow at 10, if you can't be there tomorrow at 10 and want to be a part, this is like an easy ministry to ease your way into the church and get to know people. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not involved, I'm speaking to you. You didn't know that? That's why I'm doing all this, you know what I'm saying? Bring you together with a group. So this week, I just want to kind of update you on our home a little bit because it's just helpful for you to know. Is Tim here? We should all have fire extinguishers in our homes, right? Yes, okay. And I have to second that. Since we've moved, I'm using a gas oven. And so Ashley lets me cook every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Like when we camp, she lets me cook the whole time. But every once in a while, she'll let me cook. And so she did that this week. Can you believe we've only been in our house three times and I've had since February, and I have three fires since then. And so anyway, this week, that's not too bad, right? February, three fires. But this is where I'm going with, because I'm gonna bust her a little bit. But this time I had poured the bacon grease really bad in the oven, and so I mean when I say the oven lit on fire, I'm talking like, and we couldn't get it out. So Ashley thinks that she knows best. You know what I'm saying? She thinks that. And so anyway, she gets the flour. Okay. Now you know that it's baking soda that puts out fires, right? Not flour. And so. But flour isn't a substitute for baking. So I was saying to you, so just imagine, our kids are screaming, and she is screaming, and she's throwing big amounts of flour, and all it's doing is going poof. And I'm like, honey, that's for baking pans, not for the fire. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, honey, it's for baking pans. Will you stop it? She's like, no, it's going to work. And anyway, we sent our other child to get the fire extinguisher, and we put it out. And so anyway, that's just the third fire, and we've been there since February. So I'm getting used to gas. Hopefully it's not too late. I always wonder, like, does it go to the line and then, like, blow the house up? Tim, if you can tell me that later, because that makes me nervous. We may just stop using the oven. Anyway, so make sure you have a what? Okay, that's what you learned today. You won't learn anything else, but at least you can go home and check and make sure it works. And so can you use it three times in a row? Does it eventually... It costs money to, replace it. So anyway, I hope it just keeps on going. Well, comfortably uncomfortable. That's what we are aiming for in the Church of the Nazarene in Anderson, is that we always remain uncomfortable. And so if you're uncomfortable here today, you are in the right place, okay? So get ready for a continuation of last week. If you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And again, we are studying how to become okay with discomfort. Listen, I know that some of the days coming up this week are hot, but I don't want to hear no complaining. Is that okay? We just had a really long, dreadful winter. It felt like the sun never came. And so just sit in your air conditioning and look out the window and thank God for the The heat, okay? Because some of you, I got to keep it hot to keep you here. You know what I'm saying? So y'all be running to Florida and stuff. So I got to keep it hot. So I'm going to keep praying for the heat. But if you've got your scriptures here on chapter 8, I want you to stand up. And we're going to read 26. If you remember last week, just as a review, if you weren't here, this tremendous persecution is happening in the early church, actually very early church. And early days, the Holy Spirit has been unleashed, and people are just accepting Christ all over the place. It's happening everywhere. And so Saul, who later on becomes Paul, begins to ravage the church, meaning he takes the filth, what he considers or translates as filth, and begins to gather them up. He begins to stone them. He begins to kill them. He begins to put them in prison, get rid of them. And then you've got little old Philip, who just filled with the Spirit. He was scattered away, and he continues to what? He continues to speak the truth about the gospel, and he went to a city after being scattered, being uncomfortable, knowing his life could be on the line, and all of the people in the city become attentive to him. It wasn't actually him. It was the Spirit of God within him. And all of a sudden, we see in the scripture, and this is where we ended last week, that the entire city experienced joy in the midst of a very uncomfortable season in the life of the church. Well, this week, we're going to continue on and continue to look at Philip, who should have probably given up, but didn't give up. And a whole city saw joy. A revival is happening, and God continues to put him in uncomfortable situations. So starting in verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south." You know what's so disappointing? There's a revival going on. The whole city has just come to know the Lord. And guess what God says? "Hey, I need you to jump ship and..." Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." Very exciting. "And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem," interesting, hold on to this, "he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran." I love it. Church, there's so much here. "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?'" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter." Immediately, we know what that means. But here's a man confused. Immediately, God speaks to me when I start reading this. It humbles me. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth." Just as Jesus stood there. "In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Heavenly Father God, I just am amazed at the life of Philip and the ability of the Spirit. An open heart, a willing being, and the Spirit came and moved in amazing ways. God, today, challenge us to get out of our comfortable situation, status, place. God, let us realize that being uncomfortable is a beautiful place to be. So God, we trust you with this time. We pray against the enemy. We pray that your Spirit would just wash, would move, would transform, would bring light to our lives today. And so we trust you, we celebrate you, we honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I want you to just be honest today, and I say it a lot, but I think it's just the truth, and that is one of the hardest things, even when I talk in membership, one of the hardest things for us to do outside of our church world and church friends is to share the gospel. Now, honestly, the more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you do it, the more you realize, why didn't I do it more before? But you have to do it in order to experience that. You have to do it in order to grow. Many of you, I just want you to be honest with yourselves. You're not in an active place of sharing the gospel. And the gospel is what changes lives. And as better stated in the scripture here, it's the good news. So here's the thing. If you have good news, why not share it, right? And I love how in the early church, they describe it as good news. And church, there's a lot of things right now that aren't good news. And so here we have the good news. But I want to talk to you a little bit about uncomfortable situations. So first of all, I want to remind you, I don't know about you, but when you're in the middle of a celebration and things are going great, you don't usually think about what? Leaving. It's like the mist. You haven't sung happy birthday yet. The gifts haven't been opened. You haven't seen the product of those gifts yet. You haven't seen the smiles. You haven't seen the lifelong change. And this is really where he's at. He had just seen a celebration, joy brought to a whole city. Lives were changed. Salvation was experienced. Baptisms were happening. And the Lord said what? Go. Man, oh, I don't get to celebrate. Well, he doesn't say that, but I'm thinking in my mind, right? I don't get to see these lives changed for good. And there's some uncomfortable things that happen. I'm pretty sure if an angel came to you right now, you'd consider that what? Just like you're sitting in your couch, just comfy, watching your show, eating your popcorn from church. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I think if an angel, right, came to you right now or came to you in your home, it's a little what? Uncomfortable. That's the word of the day, so just keep repeating it, okay? When I say, you say. Okay. Don't we all plan our vacations in the desert? I mean, I'm trying to encourage heat and for us to have the right attitude about it, but I'm not saying, like, go pop up your camper or your tent or your hotel in the middle of the desert. That doesn't sound exciting. And in fact, it sounds a little uncomfortable because there's a lot of things lacking in the desert. Right? Yes. Like water, comfort. And he says, go be uncomfortable in the desert. And you've got a eunuch. And I know, as men, it's Father's Day, right? You know, a eunuch, it's a strange way to have to live with no hope of, and you may not want that, and that's okay. But it is a little strange. And we also know that eunuchs are tied to usually queens. And usually queens that aren't a part of the, let's say at this time now, the Christian faith. And so he sees an angel. He's moved from the celebration. He's stuck in a desert. And he's encountering a eunuch. All uncomfortable. Yet really when you look at his response, he has no response for the discomfort. He actually seems okay with the discomfort. Also, what's so crazy is that you've got to get this, and I think that it'll help us a little more in the days that we face today. This is like turning the world upside down. You say, what do you mean? Church, I want you to hear this. At this time, Philip was encountering people that before were kind of withheld from God's word or withheld from being a Jewish person. Now, all of a sudden, the Spirit is unleashed. Now, you've probably heard this, most of you have heard this message preached in all different ways and all different, but what I want to challenge you today with, okay, is that thinking about Philip, thinking about someone who was there, who was Jewish, who understood, who now was transformed, and he's being pulled by the Spirit of God to people that really before it wasn't really open to. And now all of a sudden, the good news is open to anyone. Now, that would be a little uncomfortable. In fact, there are realms, there are places, there are societies, there are world areas that our missionaries go all the time that are uncomfortable, where the gospel isn't received well from the government. And I want you to even think in our day today, there are areas, there are places, there are people groups that don't want the good news, but God is still calling us to share the good news to those groups. And here's why you see a lot of struggle with the Jewish people. What were they trying to do? Hold near and dear what had been released. And now all of a sudden, the people of God were being drifted away by the Spirit. Church, this is the thing, and I don't know where you're at with this, but like, he was just a man like you and I, a human being. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord came and said, go, and he went. Then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord actually swept him away. Now talk about time travel. Imagine if you were him, and one day I'm hoping you get to talk to him, and I want to say, Philip, what did it feel like to go from one location to the other without walking, riding, driving? This is the church we're a part of. This is the early church. This is us. We're those Christians. I don't believe that God couldn't just, because if he could do it then, why couldn't he do it now? But see, we live in he can't do it now. Why? I mean, everything was being challenged. You've got to think in Philip's mind, he was all of a sudden talking to a eunuch of another. But there's some exciting things. Remaining uncomfortable puts you in line with the Spirit of God. And then all of a sudden, things are happening in your life that you can't really expect or you can't fathom. And church, I want you to be a people that each week can come to me and say, I can't even tell you, but this happened, and I don't know how it happened. You know, those realities can be the reality of AFC. Y'all getting quiet now. So Philip, I'm just going to review the two characters, and we're going to bring them together. Philip, this man of God, fully open to the work of God. Fully open to the work of God. The Spirit just moving him. He's just saying, hey, I just want to be used. I know what it's like not to have the Spirit. I know what it's like to have the Spirit. And I'm just going to go with the Spirit. He didn't consult. He just went. He also knew the Scripture well. Keep that in mind. Philip leaves the city, leaves the revival, leaves the Samaritan believers, and now is standing alone. You ever been alone? Standing alone in a desert, waiting, not complaining. Standing alone in a desert, waiting, not contemplating. Standing alone in the desert, sure as sure can be, not unsure. You know, most of you live in being unsure if it is or is not God. Come on, church, it's just the truth. Or we wouldn't have enough room in here. Because if the Spirit of God was pulling you this way and that way and this way, you couldn't help but buy a church van and be picking people up on Sundays. And all of a sudden, you've got this man who's just standing in the desert saying, okay, God, what is it? Then you got the eunuch. Poor guy. Can't have a family of his own. He's committed to a queen. His whole life's work is centered on a queen. Interestingly enough, if you go to the Hebrew University in their main lobby today in Jerusalem, you would go and find the same scroll from the same era day that he was reading this is sitting there. And there he sits reading these words of Isaiah the prophet. Now, come on, church, there's a couple of things here that we can't miss about him. He was drawn to Jerusalem as a non-believer who then decided to become a believer, a proselyte, just out of nowhere. I don't know how. Doesn't really tell us. And so he takes his chariot away from his home to go all the way there to worship in the temple. And then as he's coming back, he's struggling to understand the words of Isaiah because he doesn't have a disciple to disciple him. And you know what the Spirit of God is doing? Drawing him to Jerusalem as what used to be his outsider, saying to us today and to the early church, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, the gospel and the good news is for all. And then all of a sudden, I mean, y'all should be hooting and hollering. You know that the gospel's for you and you don't deserve it. The good news is for you and you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And yet somehow the Spirit drew me to it. And somehow he's called me to draw others to it. And so here he is, the Spirit of God, in this early church, trying to establish that, hey, it's for all. He draws this eunuch to Jerusalem, worships, comes back, takes Philip from the revival, and said, there's a man that needs some understanding. You know, there's some men and women in all the places that you're at that need some understanding. The eunuch was somehow drawn to Jerusalem to worship. And you know what that meant? That meant that he denied some things. That meant that he took some risk. He took his chariot with him. Okay, so I'm going to take it this route because you'll understand this. It would be like the governor, okay, saying, I'm going to take your money, okay, and I'm going to drive myself to the place of worship on your tab to figure out what's going on and then come back and have an encounter and invite that encounter to come knowing that there's a separation between what? State and church. And not only here, but they worshiped other gods, and so he was willing to say, hey, I got to be in this chariot. I got to take care of these things. We're going to go here and figure this out because something's drawing me. You can't tell me something wasn't because the Spirit drew Philip to meet and answer a question. And so here you've got these two men colliding. Two paths. The seeker, who's okay with being uncomfortable. And then the vessel, who's okay with being uncomfortable. Do you know that most spiritual encounters in our lives, most times that we share the gospel, it's usually an uncomfortable situation between both. But my goodness, when it starts to meet, how the discomfort goes out the window, and you begin to see the Spirit move, and you begin to see the change happen, and all of a sudden you realize this isn't uncomfortable at all. This is just the right place to be. And then you say to yourself, I shouldn't be anywhere else but right here. How uncomfortable are you? Then, because you know, Philip's just kind of standing there in the desert, not really sure exactly what he's supposed to be doing. The whisper comes. Y'all, are you hearing the whisper? Is it coming and saying, now's the time to speak up, to say the words? You know, we as Christians speak up about a lot of things in a lot of places that he did never intend us to say, speak, do, be a part of. We spend more time evaluating the church and its ministries than we do speaking the good news. I sat with pastors, I think it was last week, and you know, I got to hear all about, actually it was lay people, and all about their church and the transition, and you know, if we're ever going to make it through, and if we're, I'm like, oh my word. You know, if we as church people stopped evaluating the church and just became the uncomfortable vessel, we wouldn't have much to say about the church. We'd be so busy standing in the desert just saying, okay, God, you put me in the desert, so what is it? I want to see. We wouldn't have time because we'd be sweating, right? The whisper came. Great moment. Great moment. And then two worlds collide. When the whisper comes to you and you respond, two worlds will collide. You know what was happening? Was the eunuch was coming out of darkness. Long darkness. You have to think his society would have created darkness within him because he would have believed in multiple gods. He would have believed in idols. He would have believed in so many things. And all those things in this process of going towards the temple and away from the temple, these things are being shed. And all Philip was the vessel to help really peel it open and this new creation come out. Philip runs. You say, well, what's the big deal? Come on, people. The scripture didn't have to say it. Here's what's so great about it. The scripture tells us that Philip ran. This is huge. Philip ran, meaning the whisper came and he ran towards the call. He didn't question it. And you say, well, I mean, it's Philip. You know, this is only like a couple of days in. I mean, maybe a little longer than that. But not very long from the Spirit coming to this happening. And he's running towards where the Spirit's leading him. Talk about an open vessel. Talk about a heart that just says, he ran. The good news is shared. He realizes right away as he's reading Isaiah. Now, come on now. This is not coincidence, church. He's reading about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior. You know how much he could have been reading out of the Old Testament? And right in that moment, which was the perfect moment where two vessels were ready to be uncomfortable, he's reading the right words that Philip right away knew. I know just how to, and y'all are worried about stupid stuff. When God's saying, you know what? This week you could be the, Jesus Christ. Translated here, it's actually glad tidings. That's Christmas, isn't it? What is that song of Christmas? See, oh, is it good tidings? Or glad, oh, it's good tidings. Glad, it doesn't matter. Anyway, you know what glad tidings is, right? It's good news. And so here, it's not only good news, but it's translated as glad, meaning not only is it good, but you're happy in it. Can I just be real? I sit with some people. We had a great time canvassing this week and had a lot of good conversations. And, you know, it's funny the way they see the church. And some will ask, well, are they happy? I'm like, well, of course they are. Well, you know, a lot of churches are not very happy. But it's true. I've been in them. I look at them. I'm like, I don't know if they're happy or not. Like 10 of them are. The rest, I know they're thinking about what's next. You know what I'm saying? And some of us have things not to be happy about, and I get that. But he brought glad tidings. All right. So now I want to run with this for a little bit. Are you okay to run with it for a little bit? What's the takeaway of all this? What is it? Well, there's a couple of things. We have got to be willing to be full on. Just full on, like whatever, wherever, however. And in that, we have to make it not about ourselves. Two really huge scenarios. We have to be all in, and it can't be about us. Well, church, let's just be honest. That's hard. It's hard. I think what is so great sometimes about the scripture is what's not written. And I want to take a moment to share with you what's not written. And I think I say this a lot, but it's really significant here. And why do I say that? Well, this man was like, it wasn't like, he was standing here at one moment, and he was standing across in another nation the next moment. He was standing in the midst of a revival in one moment. I'm backtracking here, right? And then all of a sudden, the Lord was saying, go to the desert. And before you knew it, he was standing in the desert. Before that, he was watching people that he loved die, be imprisoned, and he was scattered and continued on doing what they were imprisoned for. And so, here's the crazy thing, is that he couldn't be selfish. In fact, how do you even look at him as selfish? He just wasn't. And church, I think if we were less selfish, we'd be more on mission. And then I think if we were more open, I think we'd be a lot busier. And I don't mean of the church, busyness of the church. I just mean when we have the opportunity, we sit in it. He was so open that nothing within him withheld the possibilities of God. If you understand it, basically, he was up for anything. And you know what God did? He said, then I'm going to give you everything. If you want to have speed, the ability to like go from, I'm going to give it to you. You're going to go from here to there. If you want the ability to stand in the desert and not die, not be hot, be all alone, I'm going to give you the ability to do that and withstand it. And so what is it that you can't in your mind get past withstanding in the place that God wants to put you? And most of the time it boils down to fear. And here, Philip was fearless. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Now here's what I want to share with you. Interestingly enough, the next passage says, "And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." Because see, there's another side here too. The eunuch could say, "Gosh, he just explained to me the gospel, and now I'm all alone again." Because you know, our humanists, that's what we do. God gave me this, and then he ripped it away. You know what God left him with? It said the Spirit. The very thing that drew Philip there was the Spirit. And so, y'all, how passionate are you about allowing the Spirit to draw you? I love this, and I keep going back to it. Take away Philip. You know, the theologians in the room, I get a little nervous here at AFC because sometimes I'm like, oh, no, they're going to come tell me. But I kind of feel this way a little bit as I get older. Because I used to say, oh, well, God will just use somebody else. And you all say that now. Some of you sleeping right now, you're just, somebody else is going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else can be full of the Spirit and run the streets. Ain't nobody doing it. Have you been down the streets? We were encountering a person this week trying to help them. I was driving into Anderson like in the middle of the night, seeing stuff that I forget. Because, you know, when you have six kids, you got to put them to bed. By the time you do that, clean up and do all that, you can't even walk. You know what I'm saying? So you go straight to bed. Isn't like, I feel like sometimes we're elderly. I'm like, I cannot walk. It's 10:30. I got to get in my bed, you know. But I happened to be out late driving around, and I was reminded. I thought, oh, gosh. As much as we are encountering, there's a lot more to encounter. So take away Philip. I don't know about the eunuch. You say, well, God can always use somebody else. Stop talking and thinking like that. Because what if it was meant for you? And what if Philip was the right guy with the right personality, with the right... It isn't just about God using somebody else. It's about somehow this eunuch and this man actually fit together. It's why he calls us a certain people. There are certain people here that God has not said to me, I need to intimately, because you know what? God has said, they got this. And so if I don't ask you about your spiritual journey, it's because the Lord has said, just love them and support them. But then there's others in my heart, I know I've got to, and there's a reason, and there's a connection. And there's people I can connect with that you can't connect with, and there's people you can connect with that I can't. And so I don't know if we take away Philip, what happens to the eunuch. You know what God would have to do? Find another willing vessel that fits the personality, that works with this person, that'll really speak to this person. And so God has to go on a journey, on a hunt for the next one that will be closest to fit. Because did you know some of us just don't get along? And some of us just don't. And we meet somebody and we know, and this is pretty deep, and they're both in an uncomfortable place, and all of a sudden they're in a chariot sitting next to each other. So something had to be bigger here. I say, we don't think about that. So take away Philip. Take away Shelley from Anderson. Y'all don't know well, but my goodness, what she does for Anderson. And is there somebody else uniquely made just like her to serve Anderson? In the way she does, somewhere, God's going to have to speak to somebody in a really specific way, or maybe it was meant for Shelley. And so the enemy likes to do this. Well, you know, somebody else will. Come on now, how many times in the church has God spoken to you and you said, well, somebody else will? What if nobody else does? What if Philip was the person for the eunuch? What if Philip was the one that was willing to stand in the desert? What if there wasn't, they say, you know, I'm going to stay in the revival. God ain't going to rip their salvation from them. They're just saying, all right, we'll enjoy the revival. So take away you, what's missing? Take away you when the whisper comes, what will be missed? And only you can take yourself away. I'm obsessed with this song right now, and it says, "He made a way across the great divide. But now the great divide is filled in by his people who are filled with his spirit." God, today, help us not to be a people that constantly are being spoken to by the Spirit and are constantly saying, "Well, I'm sure someone else can." And God, I'm pretty sure as I stand here and just hear from you that that's happening around the world. You're speaking to people in congregations everywhere, and they're passing the buck. I just wonder, as they pass the buck, who's on the other side? What are the names? Here it was a eunuch. But here it could be a Joe, a Bethany, a Brian, a Terry, an Ashley, a Charlotte. And so, Lord, my prayer, your prayer, you drew me to this months ago, was let us be okay with being uncomfortable. Because, God, I think what's so sweet in this scripture is that something happened between the two of them where the eunuch said, "Hey, come sit in my chariot. Come break the divide between culture, color, ethnicity, beliefs. Let me break it down and just come sit next to me." And I want to hear your explanation. And then it shifted. The eunuch must have heard something, understood something. And Philip must have gotten as far as baptism for the eunuch to initiate, "Hey, there's water." And so he had experienced the Spirit. And then he saw the water and said, "It's time." And God, our baptism sits dry. And I know many need to step into those waters in the places that we live, the places that we work, the places that we go. And so God, let us become uncomfortable. And let us be okay with it. Because I'm pretty sure the discomfort went out the door when they sat together and talked about the glad tidings of the good news. Send us out different, encouraged. And God, send us out today thankful that you want to use us. And not to serve in a ministry in the church. It's not what today's about. But to serve as a people that are so humbled and thankful about the gospel that they're okay with sharing the gospel. Because really, the gospel is what changes. It changes lives, it changes cities, it changes churches. Programs are great, but the Spirit is the best. We love you, we honor you. Be with all of our men here today. We're thankful for them, for the leadership they bring to the church, to their homes, to their relatives, to their families. God, we pray for our men today that they would be good, godly men that stand up for truth, that stand up for love and grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great morning. Don't forget to get your soda, popcorn, and go to Sunday school.